The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
And good morning, everybody. 8 o'clock hour underway on this Wednesday, the 25th of April, 2018. Many, many topics to cover, but no matter what we do or what we say today, every prayer lifted up for the two Dallas police officers whose names we know and the Home Depot employee whose identity we don't know. They're the three people shot by the man who got away for a little bit and was later captured. Crystal Almeida and Rogerio Santander are the three-year veterans of the Dallas police who are recovering, and every prayer lifted up for their healing, and they are in our hearts and our minds, on our minds, and they're not just them, but their friends and their family as we work our way through various topics of today. As I mentioned, one of the things we were going to cover, and he's a hashtag, so the world is paying attention, and if you want to go check that out and spend today taking a look at what happens, the drama is likely to unfold even further over in the United Kingdom, where now it is early afternoon and everybody's wondering what might happen in the case of a little boy who is almost two named Alfie Evans. Born almost 2 years ago, he has a really serious disorder, mitochondrial DNA depletion syndrome. That's a lot of syllables. What it boils down to is a normal life not going to happen. Life at all is a challenge. He's been on breathing machines for much of his life. And so in Britain, again, you got the National Health Service. This is government-run healthcare, so they can't wait to unplug this kid. And meanwhile, over in Italy, where they have a certain a more Catholic sensibility to such things, it's like, hey, we'll take him. Hospital in Rome, we will take him. And, you know, what is life? When is life worth living? What kind of decision-making is made by people in a situation of medical authority? So we went looking for people who have been paying attention to this and might want to weigh in on it. And Joe Krall is with us from Sugarland, Texas. Joe is president and editor of the Society of St. Sebastian, a regular contributor to what's called the Truth and Charity Forum, and weighs in a lot on pro-life public policy matters. Joe, welcome. It's very nice to have you.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you for having me.
All right. So there's the setup. Where do we stand today? I've been looking at your Twitter feed. Looks like you've been paying attention to this on an hourly basis. The British authorities, the British government, the parents want their little boy to live. They don't have any pretense that he's going to be running around playing soccer, but they don't want to just unplug the boy and watch him die. So where's the standoff in Britain? And then we'll go to what significance Italy may have.
Well, what's going on in Britain, and just to kind of give you an update, they are appealing yesterday's decision, which was that the hospital could continue treating him. He couldn't go to Rome. And they're definitely appealing that decision that was coming down late yesterday. There was a period after the ruling had been made that he can't go to Rome. After they had pulled his breathing apparatus, they weren't feeding him or giving him any nutrition or hydration. Well, that apparently has stopped as well. He is now being fed, and that's probably due to the appeal that's happening as well. So. Right now, Alfie is breathing on his own. He is receiving at least what we would call in bioethical terms ordinary care of nutrition and hydration. That's kind of where we are right now, where everyone's kind of waiting to see what's going to happen with this appeal to see if baby Alfie will be permitted to go to Rome to Bambino Gesù.
Here's the weird thing. If the opinion of the British government, and the government runs healthcare in Britain, please note this as a lesson for everyone moving forward, if it's their position that we want to just, you know, cut ties here, and somebody could arguably say that God is trying to call this child home, and we're just not letting it happen. I understand that. But I also understand parents, Kate and Tom, who want to try to fight with every fiber for whatever life their son may be able to have. If the UK position is we're done with this, okay, why in the world wouldn't they let him go to Italy, a country that says we'll take care of him?
You know, that's an excellent question. From my standpoint, from being kind of an ethicist that focuses on public policy, it definitely seems that the UK has a huge problem, a huge gap between patients' rights and doctors' rights. So there's an extraordinary imbalance when it comes to especially end-of-life care, and especially, it's seemingly, the disabled as well.
That takes what shape? I mean, I know what you mean, because they take a look at what the government can do, and it is government policy. They can have whatever policy they like. But then into the breach here step the parents, and the parents are sitting there. They're in court every day. They've been arguing every day, trying to get the government to do something to save their son, and the government seems somewhat uninterested in doing that. I don't want to make stuff up, but I think part of the reason that the British don't want baby Alfie taken to Italy is it makes them look bad. If this child even lives another 6 months in the care of a loving Roman hospital, that makes their nationalized health care look very, very bad.
I would wholeheartedly agree with that. And here's some other things to ponder. The doctors said that Alfie, after they removed the breathing apparatus, they said he would only live a matter of minutes.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not the case. And what's even further interesting is that there's this disagreement amongst the doctors. You have the Italian doctors. They're saying, we have experimental forms of treatment. We think we can help them. And then you have the British doctors saying, no, this is a clear case of futile care. But nonetheless, there's this obvious disagreement amongst the doctors. And yet the British courts are definitively saying that, no, he's not leaving. We're going to listen to these doctors instead, and not go. And again, this gets into an ethical principle, which we call the principle of the safer course here. They're not erring on the side of life in this particular case. There's a transfer that's there, that's waiting, that's available. And it's not just the one Italian hospital. Apparently, it's several Italian hospitals that said we'd be willing to take them. And yet the British courts are seemingly And I know this is kind of an awful thing to say, but it's an old philosophy that came out from the Germans in the 1930s, where they basically say that it's life not worth living, so to speak.
Let's probably tap the brakes on invoking 1930s Germany, but there are a lot of people, let's say in end of life, or let's say assisted suicide cases, which I'm guessing you visit on, where people, the old Dr. Kevorkian stories, they'd say, well, if somebody's in a sufficient amount of discomfort, then it becomes life not worth living. Not only do you not get to make that call for somebody else, but it is wholly unscriptural to make that call for yourself. Now, scripture doesn't define law in nations that have religious freedom, but this notion of impaneling people or sitting around having a conversation over coffee over which lives are worth living is a really dark place to go.
Yes, I completely agree. And again, I think a lot of people, especially nations who are predominantly Christian or based in a Christian faith, and really need to explore this idea of, especially when Christ says, love thy neighbor as yourself, as one of the great commandments, that needs to be explored. What is truly meant by this Christian idea of love? God loves, and so he gives life.
Right. And again, that doesn't mean that the British are obligated to go to Herculean lengths to keep this kid alive. It doesn't. But if the British say, we're done here, by what bizarre logic do they forbid these parents and this child from going to Italy? And listen, as soon as we hear, and you mentioned the Italian folks over there saying, hey, we have experimental treatments, they may very well, and they may very well work. they may also be charlatans, as we saw, quite frankly, in the Terri Schiavo case. That broke my heart. But we had people walking around saying, oh, man, she could be talking up walking around. That was unforgivable quackery in that particular case. But you know what? Let people do what they want to do. If there's one country that says we're washing our hands of this, then let the other country move forward and do something. So what happens today? I mean, it's early afternoon in the UK. What do you think happens today?
Well, we'll see what happens. Hopefully, they'll have a hearing here fairly shortly. And again, hopefully, this appeals court will have a better opinion of the idea of patients' rights. And since there's a transfer, willing to take this child and at least try to treat him to see what happens. Let them do that. That this is the whole idea of patients' rights versus doctors' rights. And when I say patients' rights here, I'm also talking about parents' rights,
sure,
too, because obviously, you know, Alfie's parents are the ones that are making the medical decision for him.
Exactly.
In this context, if the hospital said, well, we think X, and another hospital saying, well, we reviewed the medical record and we think Y, at that point in time, you've got to err on the side of caution.
Yeah, but there's a lot of ego. You're 1,000% right. There's a lot of ego. I bet there are British medical specialists who don't want to be shown up by their Italian counterparts, and there is a British government that doesn't want nationalized health care to look bad as they seek to unplug while another country seeks to preserve life. Joe Kral is on Twitter, at Joe Kral, KRAL2, at Joe Kral, KRAL2. And it's a pretty interesting Twitter feed. Let me let you wrap up. I'll let you give it voice, because it's a wonderful thing that you had to say yesterday. It is an interesting juxtaposition of stories involving babies in England. You want to offer that case in point of comparison between one baby and another youngster?
Sure. Like I said yesterday, you know, we celebrated the birth of one baby. It happened to be a royal baby. Yet the strange irony is that Britain's busy trying to kill a toddler. Yeah. And it's sad. It's unfortunate. And it really kind of shows not only the irony, but the hypocrisy that's going on.
All right. Joe, it's a pleasure to meet you. Thanks for being with us. I really, really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Mark. Have
you
a good
bet.
Day.
I will. God bless. Joe Kral, president and editor of the Society of St. Sebastian, Sugarland, Texas, regular contributor to Truth and Charity Forum, and a pro-life public policy writer of consequence. He's on Twitter at Joe Kral, K-R-A-L, Joe Kral, the number 2. All righty. Those are always hard. And in Terri Schiavo, as you'll recall, what you had there was a husband, the perpetually creepy Michael Schiavo, who was nonetheless the absolute legal repository of decision making for her. And we could disagree with him and say terrible things about him. But you remember the great spectacle that unfolded there, as a whole lot of conservatives and a whole lot of Republicans and a whole lot of pro-lifers understandably sought to wrestle decision making from him so that we could, quote, keep Terri Schiavo alive. No, I totally understand the motivation. But wow, that was a battle of conservative principles, meaning our socially conservative principle of fighting for life, fighting for life, fighting for life, versus our other conservative principle of keeping government out of places that are not government's business. And the decision making over Terri Schiavo was none of government's business. So it gets very tricky. This one is less complex. You have parents who want to see where in the world there might be treatment for their little boy. Not with any dream of him enjoying a 15th birthday or you know, running around and playing on a playground or something. Just living. Life has meaning no matter what's going on. And if you're walking around with that notion of, well, what kind of life is it? What kind of life is it if the child is just kind of lying there? You know what the answer is? It's the life God breathed into him. That's what kind of life it is. And it is the ultimate in arrogance and the ultimate in narcissism when we set out to make a legal pad with the types of life that are, quote, worth living and those that are not. So there are parents who see a hospital in Rome that's willing to care for this child and prolong life and see how many, you know, days, weeks, months might be left for this little boy. The British are uninterested. Okay. we're not going to prod you into doing what you don't want to do. But for crying out loud, let these parents take this little boy to Italy. Though I invoke this a little bit with Joe. This is a moral point that someone can make. And that is, with all of these things that we're doing, with all of these breathing machines and all of these tubes coming out of this little boy, it's not really the question of what kind of life is this. It's, what are we doing here? Is God trying to call this little boy home and we're standing in the way? Sometimes, you know, God says, okay, it's time to come to your heavenly home. And we're, you know, contorting ourselves in 15 ways, trying to fight to keep people here on this mortal coil. Is that always the right thing to do? Though, like I said, these are very, very compelling issues. And just one of the things that we can discuss today, 866-660-5759, Mark Davis, 822.
Ice will melt, water will boil. You and I can shake off this mortal coil. It's bigger than us.
Well, okay, that's crazy. That's crazy. So I just went diving for, you know, I go for like a looking for bands I haven't played in a long time. And there's Crowded House, the great Neil Finn, who, by the way, is going to be handling the Lindsey Buckingham vocals, while Mike Campbell of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers handles the guitar talents from the vacancy of Lindsey Buckingham, because he just left Fleetwood Mac as they prepare to embark on a tour. But it's probably a favorite poetic term of mine that I use every once in a while, referring to this earthly life as this mortal coil. And I just kind of forgot, in going to Crowded Houses, it's only natural, a mortal coil reference mere seconds into the song. 829, 866-660-5759. So it's Life and Death Wednesday on the Mark Davis Show. We got some calls. Sit tight, Greg in Decatur. Sit tight. Move. I'm going to give you some actual time right after we let Gordon take care of news. But as we get into the newscast, and with every segment that comes and goes, our thoughts and our prayers are with Dallas PD officers Crystal Almeida and Rogerio Santander. These are the officers who were shot in the Home Depot at 75 and Forest yesterday. Also, Home Depot employees whose name we do not know. Prayers lifted up there as well for recovery and healing, and every good wish and every prayer for their friends and their family. That is infused through everything we do on today's show. But anything you want to do is welcome, topically speaking. So bring it. 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 830. It is Ella Fitzgerald's birthday.
We lived our little drama. We kissed in a field of white. And stars fell on Alabama last night.
There is a great... Louie in there too. Holy cow.
Oh, yeah.
Did Louie just come in? Was it like Ella Fitzgerald feet Louie Armstrong? That's Let Me Little John, I think. Yeah. Okay. Ella Fitzgerald feet Louie Armstrong. Now they can get together anytime. Oh, man. Oh, so good, so good. Ella Fitzgerald, born Newport News, Virginia, 101 years ago. There is a, where is the Jimmy Buffett version? Is on Coconut Telegraph.
A situation.
Moonlight and magnolias, starlight in your hair. All the world a dream come true.
1981 from Buffett.
Did it really happen? Was I really there? Was I really there with you?
You know, I like Cheeseburger in Paradise as much as the next person.
Lived our little drama.
But Buffett was so great at so many levels.
danced in a field of white, and stars fell on Alabama that night.
So, now that you have that song in your head from a couple of artists, Stars Fell in Alabama was written in 1934 by Frank Perkins and Mitchell Parrish. There you go. All righty. Useless Minutia Wednesday on the Mark Data. It's never useless to become more culturally aware. All right. We got big stuff going on and lots and very heavy stuff, life and death stuff. The in this morning's news, well, it's all in this morning's news. Crystal Almeida and Rogerio Santander, the Dallas cops who are post-surgery. The word is that Crystal is still critical, that Officer Almeida's is still critical, but recovering. Officer Santander is, I think it's just a big, I don't know, man. I know that's not a medical term, but she's in better shape than he is the word from people covering this. So I'll tell you what, let's do. Let's wrap a big bow around this and pray for both of them, as well as the Home Depot employee, the loss prevention specialist, who is a civilian who was also shot in that Home Depot event yesterday afternoon. 866-660-5759. The other truly life and death issue we're talking about is out of the UK, where another day of court wrangling may result in little almost 2-year-old Alfie Evans' parents able to take him out of the UK, a country that is no longer interested in its government health care keeping him alive, to get him over to Bambino Gesù Hospital in Rome, where they are interested in keeping him alive. And the UK, they are pushing back against this for inexplicable reasons. There are multiple moral issues hanging off of this. It's not as simple as it sounds. Hey, keep the kid alive. We obviously totally understand, especially from the parents, the desire to do that. But we have invoked a little bit of an interesting thought. I mean, is there a point, whether it's this little 2-year-old or somebody else who's 90 or somebody else who's, you know, afflicted with some condition, where with all the medical science we have, we can keep you technically alive? You know, and I'm also the person who just spent the last hour telling you that it's not up to us to judge quality of life or what kind of life is worth living. But that presumes that life can, in fact, be lived. You know, the creepiness of Dr. Kevorkian is he had videos up, and there's somebody sitting there at a table drinking a cup of coffee saying, yeah, I'm going to get together with Dr. Kevorkian in a couple of weeks, and I'm out of here. It's like, what? You know, it's what? You can sit, you can talk, you can eat. What? And I'm not without empathy for people who have pain or people who have any one of a number of situations going on in their lives. But, wow, where is the bar set? You know, and so I'm completely opposed to physician-assisted suicide. But if somebody is, like, trying to die, if somebody is actually dying, are we always on the right moral ground in hooking up every, highfalutin thing we can to them and keeping them almost artificially alive? Does God smile on that always? Always? We're in Decatur. Greg, hey, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
I'm good, Mark. How are you this morning?
Oh, great. Thank you.
You made reference to you being unable to understand the position of those who argue that we're kind of getting in God's way of calling this child home.
I understand. I understand completely.
I don't know what that argument looks like, because my God is the God I serve is powerful enough to do whatever he wants, regardless of what we do to try to stand in his way. And I want to know what kind of a biblical argument those folks might use.
Wow. Okay. Let me make sure I know where you're going, because you're 100% correct that every concern we have here on this earth, every, you know, bit of obsession we may have over medical technology or whether somebody's going to live or going to die, it's all in God's hands. It is all in God's hands. And what we're doing is largely window dressing. But,
right. Aren't we narcissistic to think that we might be wrestling with God and standing in his way and calling this about him?
But here's the interesting thing. But short answer is yes. But there certainly are cases we could recognize. And I'm not saying that Alfie Evans is one, because I just don't know.
Sure.
That where there is someone who, if unplugged, would die. If left to nature, let God, however you want to phrase it, would indeed die.
Now, that doesn't mean you unplug everybody and just say, okay, God, take the ones you want. I mean, obviously, right. we don't do that. But God, are there
the ones that are plugged in,
exactly right. But are we, for a period of a month or a year or whatever, if we're keeping somebody alive only in the technical sense because we can, does that mean that we should?
Well, I'm calling about the argument that, you know, we're standing God's way. I want to know where the biblical reference is.
Okay, I think I'm understanding you. You're taking a bit of issue with phraseology. Do I understand you correctly that it's impossible to stand in God's way?
Right.
That we could do, we can plug 47 medical machines up to somebody. If the Lord wants him, he's taking
it. Right. My question is there a biblical argument on the side of those who say that we're standing in God's way?
Probably not, but what a great call. There are things that we can do with our free will that thwart God's will. Would that be true? I mean, obviously, God can make anything happen that he wants to have happen. Truly, truly anything. But he gives us the free will to do anything we want. And if it's sin, it's sin, and there'll be consequence for that without redemption, if that path isn't taken. There are all kinds of things we can do that I won't say thwart God's will, because the Lord cannot be thwarted. Impede it. That interfere with it. I mean, it is God's will for the guy walking down the street. You know, it's his wish, one would think, for everybody to lead a long, happy, healthy life, but that guy's going to get stabbed.
What comes to my mind is the couple that sold their property and then took the money and lied about how much they sold the property to, and God struck them dead, you know, on the spot.
Yeah. So it is always an adventure to try to figure, because sometimes the most important thing is we don't always know what God's will is. I have often offered up the notion of the side-by-side hospital rooms, where in room A is a homeless atheist with no one there giving a flip about him. In room B is the guy who's walked a godly path, surrounded by friends and family, praying on an hourly basis. That guy dies, the homeless atheist lives. What's that about? Answer is?
It might be about the homeless atheist is going to be saved in the future.
Exactly. The answer is we don't know, and it's not our job to know. And
I just want to know, is there a biblical argument to support the side that we're standing in God's way?
Technically, no. However, there's an asterisk on that, and that is that doesn't mean that we can do whatever that, because one could use that. One could take that and say, well, I'm just going to do whatever in the world I want, because God's will not be thwarted. We're going to do all kinds of crazy, unethical. We could start into 14 different types of human cloning, which is horrible, unethical, unscriptural, terrible. But hey, whatever happens, because God's will not be thwarted. There are all kinds of things that we can do that are antithetical to Scripture that we should not do. And wow, that was awesome. Wonderful call. Greg, I thank you enormously. 866-660-5759. We're in Dallas. Jeff, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. It's a really difficult thing to comprehend and understand. I mean, God's omniscient and perfect, and yet in the Bible, obviously, God admits, or doesn't admit, but makes mistakes and has to redo some things. Kills people, sends locusts to eat all your food.
Wipes out
humanity.
Jeff,
be careful.
I don't know about mistakes, because obviously when one is perfect, those are not mistakes. So, but he does some things.
So let me finish the point.
Does some things. Well, I will, but the mistake thing needed immediate brush fire extinction.
You can take it like that, but maybe humans have made a mistake in trying to decipher the Bible and what God means and what God wants. So here's the deal. So God had so many choices, and this omniscient, perfect being had a way to, okay, I can make these people sinners or not sinners. I can make cancer or not cancer. I mean, I took an argument to an amazing pastor years ago, and I said, well, what did a 2-year-old do to deserve to be born with cancer? What did a child do to be born crippled? I mean, what's their sin?
Right. And that's the wrong question.
He couldn't come up with a good good answer.
Well, I've got one. I'm not even a pastor. You know what it's called? It's called, it's not for us to understand. It's not for us to understand.
Well, that's one of the biggest biblical tricks of all time. You're just too stupid to understand.
No. It's not about being stupid at all, Jeff. It is about understanding that our tiny human minds will not always, and you, in fact, usually will not, understand God's will or understand why things happen. And every amount of time that we spend wringing our hands on this earth trying to figure out why bad things have happened, or why some people are born with horrible illnesses, or why the Holocaust happens, or why the shuttle explodes, is time ill spent. It is not, end of sentence, it is not for us to understand those things,
right.
And it is incredibly narcissistic for us to think that we must. Go ahead.
So that's interesting, because I hear people all the time saying, God spoke to me, God did this, they understand, right? Oh, we're too stupid to understand, but God spoke to me. God told me to hit a home run. God told me, you know, Aunt Lily's cancer was cured because it was his will, but these five people died. So here's the deal. So since in the Bible, God is omniscient, right, all-knowing, and perfect,
right,
God could have created us totally different.
Correct.
He didn't have to go, I'm going to make you a sinner and then punish you for doing it. You made me this
way,
dude.
We all have a sin nature. The question is, what are we going to do with it? We have free will. You seem very hung up on a kind of an intellectual understanding of God, which is always going to run you into a brick wall, because our tiny intellects will never be able to swallow it up. And that doesn't mean that we are stupid. It means that we are human. We are not the same as God.
My intellect is so tiny. I don't think I'm that.
You're not stupid, Jeff. What you have is the hubris. You have the hubris and arrogance that you think that in this life you should be able to figure it all out.
You have the hubris and arrogance like a lot of people that say, "I know God did this," and then you say, "Our minds are too tiny to wrap around it."
Do you know what I know? I know what Scripture says. I don't know it because I'm so smart. I know what Scripture says about various things. And that's the only source material that I use. And that's what I fall back on for everything. It's not because I believe something or I think something. I rely on what God says through his word. Now, you don't have to. You're not under any obligation to. And maybe that's where the difference lies between us and why you're all wrapped up in various things.
God was so perfect and omniscient, he could have made us totally different. He didn't have to make me a sinner and then go punish me for sin.
This is you presuming to know the mind of God and presuming that you are supposed to understand all of this in this life, which is a belief you're totally entitled to.
And you're making a great presumption that you're just too tiny and stupid to understand.
And my belief comes from the Bible. Where does yours come from?
Right.
My belief comes from the Bible. Where does yours come from?
Mine comes from a lot of different things.
Now, where mostly?
The Bible. The Bible is one of the worst source materials ever in the history of a written document.
I think nobody can prove much of anything. And the fact that you seek proof shows the level of misunderstanding you have of it.
Right.
And I say that with all love. 8:53. All righty, as we fold up the tent on the 8 o'clock hour here, 9 o'clock hour about to unfold. And maybe some broad ethereal topics coming your way, so stand by, as well as any kind of breaking news or any matters large or small that we need to tackle. So let's do it. 866-660-5759. It's an honor to be with you on this Wednesday. It's the 25th of April. Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.